Law 38. Think as you like, but behave like others. If you make a show of going against the times, flaunting your unconventional ideas and unorthodox ways, people will think that you only want attention and that you look down upon them. They will find a way to punish you for making them feel inferior. It is far safer to blend in and nurture the common touch. Share your originality only with the tolerant friends and those who are sure to appreciate your uniqueness. Now, seemingly this law may be counterintuitive to a lot of people, may be conflicting with what a lot of people believe in at the moment, well, conflicts with a lot of individuals in our society who have seen success and had prospered through actually going against this law. But as we go into it, we'll see that it's not all that it seems, that thinking as you like and behaving like others isn't all that it seems. Transgression of the law. This law centers around Sparta, Greece, and a young Spartan nobleman named Pausanias, a legendary story by a legendary city, and how his transgression of this law ended in his demise. So in 478 BC, this young nobleman named Pausanias had become somewhat of a legend to the Spartans. Pausanias had helped fight off the mighty invasion from Persia. He'd become somewhat of a fearless warrior with a certain flair for the dramatic in the eyes of the Greeks. Pausanias and his troops took Cyprus, moved to the mainland of Asia Minor, known as Hellespont, and captured Byzantium, also known as the modern-day Istanbul. Now master of a part of the Persian Empire, Pausanias began to show signs of behavior that went beyond his normal flamboyance. He appeared in public wearing pomades in his hair and flowing Persian robes. He accompanied himself by Egyptian bodyguards, and he lavished in banquets, and he behaved in the way almost like the Persian king Xerxes. So power and success had clearly gotten to his head. Now the Athenians and Spartans at first thought this was a passing fancy, that he had always been exaggerated in his gestures, but when he flaunted his disdain for the Greek simple way of life and insulted a common Greek soldier, they began to feel he had gone too far. Although there was no evidence for the rumors that had spread that he had gone over to the other side, but that he had dreamed of becoming kind of a Greek Xerxes. But to quell this possibility of mutiny, the Spartans relieved Pausanias of his command and called for him to come home. But Pausanias continued to dress and insult in this Persian style and manner, and then he eventually returned to Hellespont, telling his compatriots that he was going to continue the fight against the Persians. He said one thing, but he did another. And his behavior and his actions that contradicted his words was that he wanted to become the ruler of Greece with the aid of Xerxes. The Spartans declared him a public enemy and sent to capture him. Pausanias surrendered. He was certain that he could clear himself of the charges of treason. Pausanias went to trial, but the Spartans refused to imprison a man of such noble birth and let him go. Now this is where Pausanias thought he was untouchable, so he hired a messenger to take a letter to Xerxes, but the messenger instead took a letter to the Spartan authorities, and these men wanted to find out more, so they had the messenger arrange to meet Pausanias in a temple where they could hide and listen. What Pausanias said shocked them. They had never heard such contempt for their ways spoken so brazenly by one of their own, and so they had made arrangements for his immediate arrest. Pausanias got word of what had happened. He ran inside a temple, and the authorities followed him there. They placed sentries all around, but Pausanias refused to surrender. So unwillingly to forcibly remove himself from the sacred temple, the authorities kept him trapped inside until he eventually died of starvation. Interpretation. The story of Pausanias is often what happens when people adopt a culture in which they were not raised in, or rather they fall in love with a culture they were not raised in. They disrespect their own. But there's something even more deeper to note. People who flaunt their infatuation with a different culture are expressing a disdain and contempt for their own. They are using their outward appearances of the exotic to separate themselves from the common folk who unquestionably follow their own local customs. And Pausanias' need to show his difference so dramatically made him more disliked by the people around him, by the people whose beliefs they challenged. Indirectly and subtly, it all offended them nonetheless. Cultures have norms that reflect centuries of shared beliefs and ideals. Do not expect to scoff at such things with impunity like Pausanias did. That was one of his biggest mistakes. He did not hide his thoughts. He did not simply think these things and keep them to himself, but he could not control his ego. He could not control his want to be greater than everybody else. The want to show these superficialities, and many of us do the same. We cannot control our own ego in the want and the greediness to display all this greed, to display all this superficiality. Now, as a result, Pausanias died. But you will be punished nonetheless, somehow, some way, even if it's just through isolation. And that is the position of real powerlessness. Because many of us, like Pausanias, feel the call to an exotic, foreign entity to be different. But we must measure and moderate this desire. Flaunting your pleasure in alien ways of thinking and acting will reveal a different motive to demonstrate your superiority over your fellows. Keys to power. We all tell lies and hide our true feelings, for complete free expression is social impossibility. From an early age, we learn to conceal our thoughts, telling the prickly and insecure what we know they want to hear. These people, like our parents, our teachers, watching carefully lest we offend them. For most of us, this is natural. There are ideas and values that most people accept, and it is pointless to argue. We believe what we want to then, but on the outside, we wear a mask. The mask people can often wear is hiding such things as maybe their sexuality, as their political beliefs, as even to go as small and as far as being a vegan, eating meat, having certain diet restrictions, and concealing that very behavior and thought to people who it may offend. But there are people who see such restraints as intolerable. They see them as suffocating, and it infringes on their own freedom. So they have a need to prove this superiority of their values and beliefs, and in the end, their arguments convince only a few and offend a great deal more. The reason arguments do not work is that most people hold their ideas and values without thinking about them. There is such a strong emotional content in their beliefs. They really do not want to have to rework their habits of thinking, and when you challenge them, whether directly through your arguments or indirectly through your behavior, they are hostile. People hate to be challenged on something so ingrained in their own DNA as their beliefs. For people to question their very being is one of the most confronting things a human can do. By challenging the beliefs and going against the grain, and that this very law is trying to say, wise and clever people learn early on that they can display conventional behavior and mouth conventional ideas without having to believe in them. The power these people gain from blending in is that of being left alone and to have the thoughts they want to have and to express them to the people they want to express them to without suffering isolation or ostracism. So they're okay with not brazenly putting their ideas out to the world, but they can keep it to themselves and live contently. But many of us want to put our ideas out to the world, and whether it goes against the grain is not an important factor. In fact, people may seek the controversy. Now, we live in a world where anybody can become a writer. Anybody can have a voice. So that's where this law kind of conflicts with what I see today, my perception of today's reality. And what I mean by that is people will now want to express ideas that are different from the norm, that only the 1% believe in or the 2% believe in, and that's all they care for. They don't care that 98% disagree because they believe so wholeheartedly in what they believe in. And this can still work for them. This can still seek a great grand audience and a loyal following. Now, by having 40 plus written pieces on Medium displaying my philosophies I believe in life, and other thought-provoking things that I've seen from my perception, doesn't that go against this law? And also, by doing all these videos and displaying my own thoughts and perceptions on each individual law, well, I'm not behaving like others, am I? I'm thinking as I like, but I'm not behaving like others. In fact, I'm showing you ways I don't behave like others. I'm showing you ways that I think differently and that I may disagree with. And so I may ostracize myself from a large portion of people who dislike this book, who really think it's manipulative. I may have ostracized myself from a large community, but I'm okay with that. And you know, some people say, oh, you shouldn't swear in your videos. Well, I'm okay with ostracizing myself by swearing. I'm okay with that, because all I know how to be is me. And I may not hold the same beliefs that you do towards swearing and towards the connotations of these words that we merely give them. And I'm okay that we have different opinions. Subsequently, I'm gonna behave differently. I'm not gonna behave like others. I'm not going to blend in as much. And this leads in very well to what Robert continues with, and he says once people have established themselves in a position of power, then they can try and convince a wider circle of the correctness of their ideas. While I don't have a wide, huge circle of influence like other people on this platform do, it's proportional enough to have some influence over a handful of people, maybe more. But then we go all the way to the other end and we see artists and entertainers, forgive me, these are the examples that first come to mind, Kanye West, Beyonce, music is something I live every single day pretty much. So when you see these artists and they brazenly put out their ideas and beliefs into the world through their music, through the platforms they live on, they're definitely not behaving like others. In fact, they're inspiring others to behave against the norm. Kanye West is one of the most hated but loved individuals on this planet. The dichotomy that he creates between people is like no other I've ever seen. He has managed to convince thousands, tens of thousands, who knows the number, of his ideas. He has managed to convince people to believe in him. But on the other hand, he has also pushed away an equal amount of people again. But you know, when he puts his head down on his pillow and goes to sleep, he can live with that. I think at the end of the day, that's really all that matters. Can you sleep at night with what you do and how you live? And to quickly interrupt my own video, yes, I understand this law is long. Yes, I understand this video is long. I'm not going to stop making long videos for anybody. I'm not covering the surface area of a book. I'm really diving in deep, fucking deep, to understand how to think, why to think. This is not some superficial rah-rah, you know, motivation or inspiration or covering these ideas just on the surface. No. Why should you think this? Why does this exist? How did this history come about? That's why I'm doing this. And that's why I'm okay with a video going for 20 minutes. And if you really want to take your shit to the next level, if you really want to understand this life you live deeper and the history behind it, then you'll come along with me. But if you don't, that's okay. Click out the video. I won't be mad one bit. I need you to want to learn as much as I want to teach. So I will continue with one of the last stories to illustrate this law. In the late 14th century, the Spanish began a massive persecution of the Jews, and they murdered thousands. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, the Jews have already been persecuted even before Hitler had his time in history. So the Spanish were persecuting the Jews, and those who remained in Spain were forced to convert religion. Yet over the next 300 years, the Spanish noticed a phenomenon that disturbed them. Many of the converts lived their outward lives as Catholics, yet somehow managed to retain their Jewish beliefs, practicing the religion in private. And many of these so-called Marranos, which is the derogatory term for in Spanish for pig, attained high levels of government office and married into nobility and gave every appearance of Christian piety, only to be discovered late in life as practicing as Jews. Over the years, they mastered the art of dissimulation, displaying crucifixes liberally, giving generous gifts. Remember, these are Jewish people who believe so heavily in their faith of Judaism. Yet they're displaying Christianity. And they even made, you know, occasional anti-Semitic remarks, all the while maintaining their inner freedom and beliefs. That to fake a religion, to fake something so deeply ingrained and believed in as a religion, is quite an admirable skill to even be able to hold in order to keep your position of power and to keep your life intact and not be ostracized or killed. In society, the Marranos knew outward appearances are what matter, and this still remains true today. So the strategy is simple: make a show of blending in, even going as far as to be the most zealous advocate of the prevailing orthodoxy. If you stick to the conventional appearances in public, few will believe you think differently in private. Now, regardless of what I said before about going against this law and my own behavior of contradicting it, still doesn't mean that I don't behave differently in different contexts still doesn't mean that you shouldn't behave differently in different contexts of your life. What does this mean? This means the logical extension of this practice is the invaluable ability to be all things to all people. So when you go into society, leave behind your own ideas and values, put on the mask that is most appropriate for the group in which you find yourself. People will swallow the bait because it flatters them to believe that you share their ideas. They will not take you as a hypocrite if you are careful, for how can they accuse you of hypocrisy if you did not let them know exactly what you stand for? This method would be taken if you wanted to execute the path of least resistance. If you're not going in there to ruffle feathers, if you're not going in there to create attention for yourself, then putting on a mask may be the most tactful thing. Reversal. The only time it is worth standing out is when you already stand out, when you have achieved an unshakable position and can display your difference from others as a sign of the distance between you. Just like I was saying with those two artists, Kanye and Beyonce before, just like any of the largest influencers on YouTube or writers, authors, actors, individuals like these in our society can play it. And a perfect example of this is Lyndon Johnson, an ex-president of the United States, and sometimes he would hold meetings while he sat on the toilet. And since no one else either could or would claim such a privilege, Johnson was showing people that he did not have to observe the protocols and niceties of others. He had the highest position of power that one can have in America. And so, that garnered him the right to be different, to hold a meeting on a toilet, like pretty much no other has done. Finally, there is always a place for the gadfly, the person who successfully defies customs and mocks what has grown lifeless in a culture. Oscar Wilde did this. He achieved considerable social power on this foundation. He made it clear that he disdained the usual ways of doing things, and when he gave public readings, his audiences not only expected him to insult them, but welcomed it. But Oscar Wilde possessed an unusual genius. Without this gift to amuse and delight, his barbs would have simply offended. Law 38. Think as you like, but behave like others.